Hello, I'm Howard and welcome to the 93-20 Review Podcast, the show that enjoyed United's marginal gains yesterday, most notably the way they controlled possession for much of the 25th minute. We're looking back at another schooling of the plucky United underdogs. Judging how big the chasm was, how good the performance was, not that you probably care after a derby win, nor should you, and of course talking about the Stockport caca, not my words. To do so, more big guns in. It's Ehsan and Dom Fowle. Afternoon, Ehsan. How are you feeling today?
Afternoon, Howard. I'm splendid. I am 10 out of 10 in terms of moods.
The sun was shining yesterday and today in Manchester. All is good.
Yeah. I know, my mum told me.
I'm coming round to this Monday feeling that you always begin it.
Excellent. I knew I convinced you.
Dom, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, really good. A bit tired. I mean, now in the two-thirds of the way through, going to watch the three title chases in 3 days. So I did Liverpool, Forest Liverpool on Saturday, which was a vibe. Then the derby yesterday. And I'm heading off to watch poor old Sheffield United play Arsenal later, which could be absolutely medieval. So we'll see how that one pans out. Doesn't look good for him.
Button for punishment. I went to see Jonathan Pye last night at the Lowry as well. So I had a nice... start the day with a curry, watched United get schooled, then Jonathan Pye ranting about Tories for 2 hours. So
curry and pie, good.
Curry, yeah, the lamb nahari every, when City play at home on a Sunday, always a lamb nahari to keep your stomach full for the day. So
a lamb nahari on your stomach before a derby, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Bit spicy it is, yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my stomach's gone on derby day anyway, so... what difference is a few chilies going to make?
In for a penny, in for a pound, yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to crack on with this. I think we all, straining at the leash, aren't you, Ehsan, to talk about this? So, you're one of those weirdos that loves derby day. So, how were you feeling on the day? Stomach cramps, nervous excitement, or pretty chilled?
No. I was very relaxed, incredibly relaxed. I had a feeling that they were going to come to not play football. And so I had a feeling that it was just going to be humiliating. We've seen this in the last 10 years, a few times where they've come to the Etihad and they play the deadest of dead. And I almost feel as though, I guess because of the context of the rivalry and the context of the way in which United have spent in the last decade, there isn't a greater humiliation than turning up with a £1 billion squad and then playing dead on the edge of your own area in the vain hope that you might somehow fluke a point. I'm not just saying that with 2020 hindsight. Genuinely, my feeling going into the game was, yeah, he's going to park three buses here and it'll just be embarrassing.
When was the last time they came to the Etihad with a positive mindset looking to win? Probably about 14 years now or so, 15 maybe.
I don't think after Ferguson any of their managers have come and tried, like maybe Van Gaal.
Even he didn't at the end either, so
yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, I think the pattern has been pretty similar for the last decade, but I guess I just felt with what had happened to them at Fulham last weekend, I was fairly sure that they were just not going to play football. And so in a way, you're playing to City's hands when you do that. But I also think that, and we'll talk about it a bit later, I think that there's a distinction which always depends upon the level that City play at. If City play at a certain level, you can almost transport any opposition in. It's not really going to make a difference because at that level that we can play at, nobody can deal with us. So the question was always going to be, all right, so if they play dead, what level do we hit?
Don, just before we talk about the match, are you one of those weirdos who enjoys derby day?
I think certainly more so than you.
That's not difficult, is it? You know what? I wasn't too bad for this one. I mean, I'll put in the notes, more key for me was the 3 points, not the fact, I can actually take losing to United. It's always the wider picture nowadays. Especially in the second half of the season, yeah.
Yeah, and particularly this, you know, how Saturday unfolded as well. Now, I mean, obviously for me, it's different. It's different now with it being work as well. So like the match day routine's a bit different when you go to cover one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think I have always kind of enjoyed them, just from the point of view, even so, you know, when City were nowhere near as good as United, and it was kind of a bit of a shot to nothing. It was like, if City win, it's incredible. So it's like, I always kind of like that sort of high stakes things of, if it's great, it's the best thing. So yeah, I think I've always kind of looked forward to them. But yeah, absolutely. 3 points was fairly non-negotiable. I think you look at the form of all the teams at the top of the table. You've will Liverpool winning on Saturday, barring anything ridiculous, Arsenal will win tonight.
Of course.
Before we even consider Anfield on the horizon, yeah, it did feel like a non-negotiable 3 points.
Mm, indeed. Hey, son, the team then, not that many surprises, really. Doku, perhaps, the left wing was the big call with, I think, Walker. For me, Walker was always starting as well, so.
Yeah, I mean, I had picked Akanji whilst knowing that there was a 95% chance that Pep would go with Walker. Mm. I'd picked Doku because I had a feeling that he'd go with Doku just simply because we were at home and because of how poor United had been. The team was... Look, I'm at the point where if I see De Bruyne, Haaland, Foden, Bernardo Silva and Rodri in a team, I almost don't care who else he picks.
Yeah. I didn't really care on the defence, no, because they're just options there, weren't they, really? You can have preferences, but they're all good options, really.
I kind of feel the same in attack as well. You know, I don't really have a, you know, if you take Doku, Jack, Bob, and Alvarez, then for me, in a game that we class as a big game, I'm easy with whichever way Pep goes, because the key thing for me is the players that I mentioned: Haaland, KDB, Rodri, Foden, and Bernardo. That for me, that's the core. Those are the guys who are going to win you the game, and what you do elsewhere in the attack with that one position that's left is entirely up to Pep.
Mm. So I'll stay with you just for a minute. How did you feel the early minutes went? Don't worry, we'll be getting the bad out of the way before all the good comes. So. As the game actually plays out that way.
I thought we were brilliant from the first kick, to put it bluntly. My feeling was, the feeling that I had before the game that they play dead was very clear from the off, just how deep they were going to sit. And it was very clear from the fact that Onana just was hoofing it every time he got the ball, that they just weren't even going to attempt to play. Everything was going to be long balls. So just, you know, the pattern then was really about, okay, what tempo does City play at? And I thought that we played at a really good tempo. I thought that from a kind of pass and move point of view, it was the everything felt right to me. Doku had loads of space from minute one. And it's funny because pretty early on, I started thinking he should swap Foden and Doku, you know, just to see how that goes. I was a little bit surprised that never happened. But yeah, I guess because I don't have the derby nerves that maybe some other people have, I was watching it pretty cold, just going, oh my, they're getting slapped today.
Mm. I was watching it pretty cold because they were just had over ball. But Dom, I guess for some that you could call it a predictable sucker punch. I mean, yeah, you sometimes have to accept a worldy strike, or
yeah, some hit. I mean, I mean, Guardiola mentioned it afterwards that they had the defensive line wrong. I mean, unusual to see Nathan Ake be the guy to play someone on side there. But
yeah,
even after that point, you know, Diaz has kind of forced Fernandes to hold the ball up. You know, I think you'd accept the ball getting laid back to 25, 30 yards, and then it's an absolutely unreal hit. In off the bar always makes a goal look about 20 times better as well. And yeah, wow, just pretty speechless really when that goes in.
Mm. I felt, Asan, this was the worst time. And the one thing we said in the preview, they've only got one trick. We know what one trick is. Bit of, you know, belt it long, bit of pace, they could do us. And they could have done us again after that goal. It felt like this next 5-10 minutes was the weakest part of the game for City. Is that how it felt to you? So of course, I'm a Diaz slip, so it wasn't a chance they really created. Diaz slipped, and of course, if Rashford could head a ball properly, he might have been in on goal. But he had Walker, of course, shadowing him as always. and a bit later on, that far post chance where he kind of fell over himself. So if Rashford wasn't absolutely shit, it could have been worse, despite City absolutely dominating the ball.
I guess I see it slightly differently. I don't think that, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion with that poor header. It's not as easy to me. I think it's a bit harsh to go, that's terrible from Rashford. I think that the way the ball bounces, he's unlucky because I think he expects it to not bounce quite as high and he expects to just chest it down, but it doesn't. It bounces a little bit too high and he's got to try and head it and he doesn't get the header right. But it's a fine margin, and he doesn't get it right. But it's not, I didn't look at that and go, oh, we got away with one there. And a little bit simple, look, to go back to our point of view rather than looking at it from Rashford's point of view, I think the back four obviously take 5 or 10 minutes to readjust after the goal. And I think more than anything, it's just about, oh, that thing has happened that sometimes happens where we're dominating a team and somebody hits one out of nowhere. But I didn't have too much concern about them refinding their composure. And I didn't really think that United were, like, in a way, I think the goal's bad for United insofar as the goal gives them the idea that they've got something to hold on to. But that changes, it doesn't, I think it changes our mentality and then forces them back even further, which just wasn't good for them because I didn't see a world in which they were ever going to defend that lead for 95, 96 minutes, however long the game ended up being. So when the goal went in, I didn't go, oh no. And just to go back to the second Rashford chance, I'd be interested to know what you both think, because I just don't think that's easy. I've watched it a few times and I think that, you know, I do think that we are harder on ourselves when we're watching opposition teams in terms of thinking things are easy chances. And I go back to the Bournemouth game where I felt that a lot of people massively overstated what constituted a big chance. And that second Rashford chance, I'm not sure it was that big.
I'd put it on about the same level as Foden's chance, you know, it went a bit wide and he did get a clean shot and the keeper saved it. Fair. It's not a great chance, but it's just an opportunity. No. Yeah.
So I've not seen the Rashford chance back because it didn't make match of the day, which I think maybe speaks to it not being a huge one. But
or they're shit at editing, yeah.
Maybe that. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's on the telly, but Howard, I don't know if you saw this in the ground. Did you see Guardiola when Diaz slipped?
No.
He did his full hands and knees and head on the floor, like gone.
Yeah.
So he clearly thought it was a bit of a problem. But then obviously he looks up and Walker's gone and retrieved the situation. And I think I know he's kind of split opinion this year, but that is why that Walker's playing in games like that, because Rashford's header isn't great. And I get that it's not the easiest for him to get under control. But if he is firmly aware that Kyle Walker's breathing down his neck in a second. So he knows he's got to get the header right. He knows he's got to get the angle of his run right. And he didn't cope with that pressure and Walker's gone and picked his pocket. You can probably have less sympathy with Rashford on the air shot that ended up hitting him on the head, which was a bit of a good bit of slapstick.
Yeah.
That back post one. I didn't realise till I saw the replay back of that he slides after his air shot and hits him on the head and Ake runs away with the ball. That's pretty good.
Didn't seem a huge... I sit at that end. It didn't seem a huge chance at the time. Seemed a bigger chance, I think, on a replay, yeah, but it's all about angle. Yeah, what angle you see it at, basically.
Yeah, so. I think it was a bit of a difficult high, but I mean, he made it look like an incredibly difficult high, didn't he? So
yeah, he did. Dom, I'll stick with you there. What about the rest of the half? Then obviously I rewatched the match this morning, which is rare, but obviously a Derby day win. I'm going to rewatch the whole thing because it's only in play about 55 minutes anyway. And it's easy to be frustrated at half time, we'll come to that, but of course, the big chance was Phil Foden one-on-one. And I'm surprised that I don't know if he did it deliberately, moved it onto his right foot, which didn't help him and helped Onana. And lots of blocked chances, a bad header from Haaland that Casemiro set him up with. That Foden chance I've mentioned, 18 shots in the first half. I mean, essentially, there was not that much wrong with the performance in the first half, was it? Though, of course, if you're losing, I know at the time a lot of City fans will have been super frustrated with the level of the performance.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.